Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of my veins, the life inside of my body.
Follow me, follow me everywhere I go.
Talk about Christian leadership, and the topic of the day is the Master's Touch, Kingdom Keys to Fairness. We're going to be bringing out some key insights on fairness for the body of Christ, and we're going to walk you through some various insights. Some information is going to help you to be an empowered and equipped as a Christian leader, but we know that it's also important for us to be fair in the role. And so before we begin, I'm just going to open us up in prayer and invite the power of Jesus Christ to be with us, and that God will give us those key insights that we need to deliver. now in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we glorify you this morning. We lift you up on high. We invite you to be in our mind, spirit, and soul as we deliver a message to the body of Christ that we feel that you have given to us, O Lord, to equip and empower the body of Christ to be sound and practical in everything that we do, that we will reach others in the truth and spirit of Jesus Christ, and that we will guide them into the likeness of Jesus Christ, and that they will hold on to the vine and not to us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I'm joined here also with our co-host, Dr. Sonia Bomo, and our dear Minister Rebecca Huggins will be joining us also shortly here as we continue on the process of sharing the key insights again on fairness for a Christian leader, how we should function in the body of Christ to share our wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with fairness. Whatever God has imparted into us, we want to be leaders that share with the body of Christ in fairness. So one of the first things that we want to look at is we want to talk about what is fairness. What is fairness? And we all will have various insights to share on this topic. So we're just going to start out, and I want to ask Dr. Sonny, can you share what your perspective is on fairness? What is fairness for a Christian leader?
Thank you for having me on this program. And I'm glad to be part of this wonderful program. And I want to say that I appreciate you for the good work you are doing, and I'm glad to be a part of what you are doing. And I'm sure other listeners are also glad to be part of what you are doing, and it's a precious joy in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Now, the topic is fairness, and I can say that fairness is an ability to be able to make judgments that are free from bias, discrimination. Judges, umpires, and teachers should all strive to practice. It is an old English meaning, which means pleasing, attractive, and is like having no inequality. There's no inequality in it. There's no discrimination in it. And you are able to understand that we are fair and there's justice. And that is what I can say now about fairness.
Amen. I totally agree with you. And I just want to open up the floor to our dear sister and minister, Rebecca Huggins. Would you like to share your insight on the definition of Christian leadership fairness?
Yes, good morning, Minister Donna. Thank you for having me on this morning. First of all, I'm going to give or to define the meaning of fairness. Fairness is defined as the state or condition or quality of being fair, free from bias or injustice. So as Christian leaders, it's important for us to not be biased or to show or to put or interject our opinions when dealing with our family members, when dealing with our with other believers, and even in dealing with our professional relationships. And one scripture that comes to mind, and there are many scriptures in the Bible that reference fairness, but the one that I'm going to read is coming from Galatians 3 and 28. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed or heirs. And that was, I read the 28th, 29th verses of Galatians, the third chapter. But I really want to zero in on this scripture. There's no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are one in Christ. So when we're dealing with our family members, when we're dealing with our parishioners or our believers or our sisters and brothers in Christ, or just dealing with each other, we need to remember that we are all equal in the sight of God. And so we need to display or to show that behavior whenever we are talking with someone or whenever we are collaborating with someone, whenever we are ministering to them. Remember that we're all on the same level. And so that's my definition of fairness, though. Yeah.
Awesome. And I think both of you have clearly stated what fairness is. And I like the scripture also that you use from Galatians, because it clearly gives clear insight to what fairness is. And I also want to just interject into this and add Proverbs 16:11. And it says, as just weights and balance are the Lord's, all the weights of the bag are his works. So there, I believe that God himself is reflecting his own knowledge, his own wisdom of how we should function in the body of Christ with fairness. I also believe that Christian leaders should lead the world in striving for justice and equality by empowering and equipping others to fulfill the vision of Jesus Christ. And we should be able to define justice based on biblical principles and concepts that will promote change in every environment. We should be also capable of pointing out the key biblical principles that support fairness in the body of Christ, just as Paul wrote in the Corinthians. So I want to move forward a little bit more here, and we're going to look at some other areas on our topic for today. And we have one of the areas is how can a Christian leader avoid developing fraternal environments where groups are singled out, whether they are right or wrong, as good, whereas others are excluded. And the reason why I bring up this question is we find that oftentimes in church environments or where there is an assembly that is supposed to be unto God, we find that there's a fraternal orders in existence, whether it be the women singled off in their own groups, or men are singled off in their own groups. And we have also, too, where there's higher levels and lower levels of existence in the church now. It's more conformed to a country club environment. And then we have people that feel like they're left out because they don't belong to any of these various societies in the church. How can a Christian leader function and avoid developing such fraternal environment? Dr. Sonny.
Yes, thank you for this question. And it's very true that you have this kind of organizations in the schools. And when I was in the school, it was a big thing. And I was wondering, how would I be able to survive? To even make it worse, the faculty were also the one who were leaders, and also they were recruiting students to join. But I made up my mind. I said, I'm not going to be part of this organization. I'm a Christian anyway. So each time they would try to approach me, I tell them I'm a Christian. So they try by all means to put me in, but I said I'm a Christian. But they were watching whether I was really a good Christian or not. I think that is what it boils down to. You know where you stand. So if you know you are not really a true Christian, they will know you are not a real Christian, and they will be watching you. They watch carefully. And I go to church, I'm not drinking, smoking, partying, and that was how I was able to survive. But again, in terms of favoritism, it wasn't there. So they treat me bad, and it was hard. And I survived because God was on my side. So basically what I advise ourselves is that you know where you stand, you know who you are standing with. You are standing on the rock, then it is that rock that will help you and make you survive in this part of the world. Amen.
Amen, amen. I totally agree with you. I think when it comes to functioning in certain environments that I think we kind of have to be distinguished away from these fraternal orders because we no longer are able to function in the fullness of Christ if we submit to a different system that is not of a Christian system. Now, we can look at this dimensionally from different angles. Minister Rebecca, would you like to share your insight on this area?
Yes, I would like to share my insight. As Christian leaders, we do not want to create a fraternal environment. We don't want to single out any one group. We don't want to single out any one group, whether it be positive or negative, good or bad. Because what that does is whenever leaders single out groups, it causes some of the believers to just draw back and not want to become active in ministry. And so one of the scriptures that comes to mind is that, and I'm going to read it, it's coming from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, which talks about unity in the body through our gifts, unity in the body of Christ. And as believers, as Christian leaders, we have to remember that we are all worshiping God, and we need to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we also need to come together in an atmosphere or create an environment where people are free to worship, and we're all on one accord. And even when it comes to getting the believers to walk in their gifting, and working in different ministry assignments in the body of Christ, this scripture will definitely help us. And I'm going to read it starting with, it's coming from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the seventh verse. Now, grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of the Messiah's gift, for it says, when he ascended on high, he took prisoners into captivity. He gave gifts to people. But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. For the training of the saints in the work of ministry to build up the body of Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man with a stature measured by Christ's fullness. But those scriptures that I've just read really help us as Christian leaders to know that we need that everyone is important, that everybody has a purpose in the kingdom of God, and that we all have to work in our respective places in order to do kingdom ministry. So no one is isolated. God ultimately wants us leaders to create an atmosphere where there is unity, where everybody is operating in their kingdom assignment. And we're able, and when everybody's operating in their kingdom assignment, then we can work together. We can work cohesively as one unit to bring about change in the body of Christ, as well as bring about change in unbelievers, bringing them to the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. I totally agree with both of your statements, and I just want to touch a little bit on the area where Minister Rebecca Huggins brought out, and because I think this is a very important area in that, because we can look at this so dimensionally right now, because the house of God was originally meant for people to be able to come in and worship God, because Jesus himself said, "My house shall be a house of prayer." We also see that when Jesus, in his leadership style with the disciples, he did not pair them in such a way, nor did he develop hierarchies with them. They were just 12 disciples. He didn't take anyone higher or level in any of his statements. He didn't say that either one of them was better than the other. He looked at all of them equally. Although he gave different charges, he gave them different charges. They may have had different assignments, because we see that James and John were called the sons of thunder. They were called Bajornis, the sons of thunder. We see that Peter, he said, upon this rock, he will build his church. So we see that they all had different charges, but Jesus looked at all of them the same. He looked at them as disciples, his disciples, even the 70 other that were following him, who later decided to leave his presence. They were still functioning, doing some of the work that they were given charge and authority to do. So he did not say to Peter, you know, when Peter, it was time for Peter to walk on the water, when Peter said, "Lord, bid me to come." And when Peter was getting ready to walk out of the water, he didn't say, "Peter, no, get back in the boat, because you can't do what I can't do." He treated him as though he wanted him to do the same thing he was capable of doing. So I think it transcends also to in the gift, your calling, your anointing, how you translate it over to individuals that are functioning in various charge positions underneath you. Are you willing to allow them to function up to your level in fairness? Does there have to be hierarchies in place? Does there have to be the women distinguished off from the men when it creates an environment of separation in the marriages? When the man and the woman come off into the church, the woman is sitting on one side and the man on another side. Where is the unity? How can the children begin to identify that, yes, there's unity in the marriage? It sets a trend. It sets a pattern and a design that is already distinguished according to the word of God of walking in one flesh. So how can we not get to the point of having these fraternal orders developed in the environment? And those that are listening online, feel free to chat with me on Facebook. If you receive the invitation from Yahshua's Tabernacle, and you're also free to call in to the number 646-668-2413. We welcome your insights, and we also welcome your questions you may have and any prayer requests. So we're going to continue on the pace that we are discussing today. We're talking about Kingdom Insights as having a Christian leadership having fairness in the body of Christ. Because as Minister Rebecca indicated also, we are building up the kingdom of God. So this is very important that we Christian leaders begin to make a distinction from the secular world so that we can walk in the fullness, and instead of us adapting to the patterns of the world will begin to adapt to our Christian leadership style, which is Jesus Christ leadership style. So how can, let's talk about the next question we have on the forum. If the church is primarily speaking a Greek language and a party that speaks English enters into the environment, but yet everyone in that environment can speak English, should they continue functioning, should they continue the process of speaking a language that the individual that has entered into the body does not understand? And if not, how can they handle such a situation? Dr. Sonny Ogbomo.
Yes, that is also. And I've seen this occur to me in many places. And in fact, I just come from Uganda recently. And of course, you know, they are speaking their dialect. And me, they are, and me, I'm there. And they are they are there talking about maybe price, discussing how they will buy this. And I'm the one who's going to buy. And I don't know what they are talking about. And they are telling me to make, to buy. I said, I don't know what you are talking about. Do I know what you are talking about? Please come to English. It's the same thing with the Word of God. If you are speaking a different language, maybe Greek, and I've come and I don't understand. So it's very important that we speak the language in which everybody can understand. And you will have seen that with tongue speaking. You saw that in the book of Corinthians, chapter 14. Mm-hmm. And even Paul himself, he advised that it's better for us to speak the language that everybody can understand. And what is that language everybody can understand in the context of spiritual matters? Prophecy. Or you can speak another type of where you speak the tongue, you interpret. But just speaking the tongue, and I come in, I don't know what you are talking about. I don't know what you are talking about. So obviously, you are talking, the conversation is between you and God. So I'm excluded. So hence, he advised that if we cannot speak the language anybody can understand, shut up your mouth and speak it in your house. But if you can speak, and you can interpret it, or anybody in the crowd can interpret it, it's okay. In other words, you can prophesy. Prophecy with everybody. So I will know what you are saying. Anybody can know what you are saying. Then you yourself, you know what you are saying. You are blessing the church, blessing the congregation. So you see it in the book of Corinthians. Let me see. It said 14. Let me see. Therefore, let's start from 14, maybe 10. There are it may be so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you speak to excel. Therefore, that is verse 13. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue, pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Thank God, that is verse 18. I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that I may teach others also, than 10,000 words in a tongue. So in other words, more concerned with letting other people understand what he's saying, being blessed, than you speaking many words. Nobody knows what you are saying, but the Father in heaven knows what you are saying. So it's very important that we come to understanding that we have to let everybody know what we are saying. And if anybody come in, we need to speak the language everybody can understand. This has occurred to many places I've been to. They begin to speak other languages, and I don't understand what they are saying. But I don't get offended. I know it's normal. So, but as time goes on, they begin to realize that you don't understand. And I think we need to be peaceful about that and not be man, oh, they are talking about me. They might not be talking about you. It's just by natural. You know, when you see a friend or a family, the first thing that comes to mind, you just begin to speak your language, maybe by impulse. Naturally, begin to speak that language, which both of you can understand, and without them even knowing that you are there. So that is what I can say now.
Amen. I agree with you. The Christian way would be to acknowledge that there is a lack of knowledge.
Yes.
But
yes.
As Christian leaders, we definitely have to educate and empower and the body of Christ to function for a multi-cultural environment.
Exactly.
Whereby that if every party is not of does not have understanding, especially when we're teaching, or in communications with family or communications with other members or networks or, you know, coworkers or peers, we should be able to adapt culturally now, because we're dealing with a multinational, multicultural environment. So I think at some point in order for the mindsets to begin and be capable of shifting, we have to begin the education at a standpoint in the body of Christ where everyone will be able to take understanding, the protocol now shift because we have other people in the midst and everyone, we're teaching everyone in that body. Let me move forward to Minister Rebecca Huggins, please share your insights in this area.
Yes. The Christian leaders, the leader's responsibility is to meet the people's needs. In order to understand the Word of God, the Word must be translated into the language of the people. If the Word of God is Greek and an English-speaking believer comes into the service, the leader should have an interpreter in place.
Mm-hmm.
When the leader brings a word, he is bringing this word to build up the body of Christ. Therefore, it's important that an interpreter is in place so that the English-speaking person knows what the word means and what is being said, so that he or she can apply the word to his or her life. And the doctor before me has already referenced the scripture, so I'm just going to reference from 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, that as leaders, we need to remember the person, we need to remember this, and it's coming from the fourth verse of, the person who speaks in another language builds himself up, but he who prophesies builds up a church. And so, with that being said, if Greek is the primary English of the church, and an English speaker person is coming into the service, the leader has to remember that he or she wants to build up the entire church. So an interpreter needs to be in place. And we can put that into modern day language, because we know that today churches are made up of bilingual or multiple languages. So we have Spanish people who fellowship with English speaking people, and we have Spanish interpreters in place in order to ensure the message that is being brought forth. Also, we have deaf people who are in place, and we have sign language interpreters in place in order mm-hmm. to translate the message into sign language so that the believers can understand the word that's being applied. When we think of leaving America and going to another continent that speaks a different language, we may be teaching the word in English, but there's an interpreter in place in order to interpret the English from that dominant language that's being spoken. So as the believers, it's definitely, as Christian leaders, we should definitely have an interpreter in place in order to translate the message into the language of the individuals who are attending the service.
I totally agree with you. I think both of you have made some very sound and applicable ways of how Christian leaders should be able to adapt to a multicultural environment and also to a multinational, international environment as well, which is very important now as we are growing, as the body of Christ continue to increase, and for us to impact and grow the kingdom of God. I definitely believe that we as Christian leaders have to put new measures in so that we can be more capable and functional in all aspects at this time. And I truly like the point where you brought it in about having an interpreter for those that speak a different language, because not all the time can someone who's trying to speak another language but or not bilingual be able to translate it over appropriately to where the individual will be able to understand. As we know that even though that someone will speak English, we have variations of English. We have the British English and we have American English dialect as well, which can mean two different things. In English, when they say put your handprint, they literally mean put your handprint, whereas in America, the American English will be sign your name when you say put your handprint. So we definitely have a lot of things to think about in Christian leadership, and this is a forum where you can begin to take access of this type of information and be able to use it to adapt in your environment and use it from a Christian perspective to effectively, again, to empower and equip the body of Christ. So the next question I have is, how can a Christian leader avoid developing a country club environment? We kind of touched on it in the first question when we were talking about fraternal environments, but how can we avoid developing country club environments and remain focused on the Great Commission while being fair to the followers' needs and desires? Because we have some followers who will say, well, we need a coffee bar because, we have to stop and get coffee on the way so it will make us late. Or maybe, the followers' needs or they want to have some type of group where they can click together to be able to feel wanted, to feel needed. But again, this also creates a situation where some are left out. So how do we create environments where we are fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ? Dr. Sonia Obama.
It depends on what we call the country club environment. Now, I'm going to tackle this from the point of being serious with God, being on fire for God. Now, if a country club is a country club environment is where all you would do is drink, eat, party on a golf club, on a ferry, feeling comfortable, just mixing together as a group. Right? Not really serious with God. Oh, we know God. God is good. Just knowing the fact that God is good doesn't mean that we really know God. It doesn't really mean that when we talk, he hears. So just being a friend together. Oh, we are all Christians. We know God. No, it's not like that. Look at what he says on let me see. In Romans, in the book of Romans, chapter 14, he said, verse 16, therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as an evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. I know the context of this is not really about what we are talking about, but I'm talking about this from the point of eating and drinking. If the country club team is just eating and drinking and partying, it's not about righteousness. It's not about peace. It's not about joy in the Holy Ghost. You discover that this group will just be comfortable. Whenever we are comfortable, we reach a state where we feel ourselves now comfortable. We are just lukewarm. We don't know God. We are not on fire for God. It is when we begin to see ourselves in a desperate situation, we see ourselves, this is happening to me, this is what is happening to me now, maybe I'm sick, maybe I'm looking for this, then you begin to seek God, begin to seek him, and he will begin to reveal ourselves to us. But when we are just comfortable, lukewarm, nothing happens. You see what happened to David? David has fought several battles. He has been pushed to the dungeon. He was now a leader of those who have been driven out as people who are rejected. He taught them. Now he became a king. Now becoming a king, he became comfortable. He was no more going to battle. He was now staying at home. That was when he climbed up and started seeing a lady bathroom. And that is where he began to be tempted. So when we begin to feel comfortable, there is a question there. We will not be on fire. And what is the Great Commission we are talking about? Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to read from 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, if this command is in the theme of the country club, and as a leader, then it's a good one. But if just as a gathering where we all fellowship together, just have fun, then we are not obeying this great commission, then there is a question there. So we need to understand that this is a command for every born again Christian. We need to go out there and make disciples. So if we are not making disciples, we are not obeying the Great Commission. Thank you.
Amen, amen. I really enjoyed that one, and I just totally agree with it. Minister Rebecca Huggins, would you like to share your insights in that area?
Yes, Minister Donna, I would like to share my insights. And one of the things that I want to say is that in answering this question, I based it upon a scripture that I already read at the beginning. I read in one of the other responses, and I'll give the scripture at the end. But I'll go ahead and give my response. As the as Christian leaders, we need to create a sense of unity amongst the body of Christ. We know that the believers have unique needs or desires that must be met. From the psychological perspective, Abraham Maslow said that as human beings, we all have a desire to belong or be a part of the family, which is the ultimate reason, which is one of the main reasons why believers want to be a part of a, or want to belong to a loving, compassionate church family who's committed to fulfilling, as the doctor has said, who's committed to fulfilling the Great Commission, and who's committed to saving souls, who's committed to advancing the kingdom's agenda in the earth realm. So as a whole, we need to meet the needs of the people. We need to be able to meet the needs of the people who are assigned to us, and the leader can do this because, you know, when you think about the pastor or the chief leader of the church, a lot of times, especially when you're talking about a large congregation, the leader cannot, or the pastor cannot immediately get to everybody on a daily basis, which is why there are deacons and deaconesses in place, as well as ministers in place to help to be able to meet the people's needs, okay? So when we have our when believers come in the church and they go after they've gone through their new members class, they are assigned either to care groups or to cell groups. And the objective of the care groups or the cell groups are to, first of all, to continue to minister, to continue to share the pastor's and the first lady's mission, and they have to have the heart of the pastor and have the vision of the church, but also to be able to continue to feed these people, to continue to be able to feed the believers, to continue to minister to them. Sometimes that may be through fellowshipping outside of the four walls, okay, going to dinner, or it may be praying with this particular person, or maybe going to the hospital to spend some time and to see those who are sick, or going to give communion to those who are sick and who can't come out, or going to different or significant events that may happen in the believer's life. So, the leader can make certain that a country club mentality is not met or is not exhibited in the church house by, first of all, making certain that there's no exclusive group, but everyone needs to know that we're all a part of the body of Christ. We're all a part of the same church family. We all believe in loving one another. You're all special. And to meet those individual needs, the church leader or the church leader, the pastor, the first lady, the leadership team needs to make certain that each member is assigned to a care or a cell group to meet those immediate needs.
Amen, amen. I agree with both of your statements on how we can go about doing this, and very much important. So I want to focus a little bit on this Great Commission point that Dr. Sunny brought out, because it's one of my points is also, and that is that we should remain focused in the Great Commission. If we're remaining focused in the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, as Dr. Sunny brought it out in the scripture earlier, we can't go wrong. We can't go wrong, because everything that we build up will be translated out of that, and we will be building up disciples. We will be building up, increasing the kingdom of God, because the more disciples that we have, the more the kingdom of God will flourish. And we're not building up disciples again to hold them. We're, in all fairness, we want them to use their gifts, talents, and abilities also to continue the pace of building up the kingdom of God. So I think all of us have brought great and wonderful insights for the body of Christ to be empowered and equipped with fairness. And I just want to state a few things here, most importantly, about fairness, because we only looked at it from some particular areas from Christian leadership side. But I want to point out, too, for every Christian leader that it's very important, because fairness is not about just being friendly and compassionate in conflicting circumstances that arises that requires a need for sound decision making that will uphold equality. It's also about being able to understand what justice is in every situation. Because when we look at King Solomon, when he made the decision, when the two women came and both were claiming that the baby was there, his judgment, it was in fairness. And he not only was fair, but he also used wisdom in his fairness. He used wisdom, the wisdom to make a judgment in fairness in the eyes of God. Excuse me, not in the eyes of man. So that's very important. And our fairness is not in our own eyes, but we reflect what is of God. So we must rely on the wisdom of God when making decisions to be fair while not showing impartiality in any area of the vision or the environment. An appearance of impartiality in any given situation can bring a mark of confusion. And what does that do? It triggers a thought of false credibility in the mind of any believer. So when a believer or anyone else that is following your guidance as a Christian leader, they will begin to question you. You will become, your credibility will be questioned. If it is in marriage, if it is in the fullness of the body of Christ, if it's in your dealings with others outside of the church, your credibility will begin to be questioned if you lack fairness. So fairness is a part of the charitable works of a Christian leader, and it's transcended justice, visibility with the heart of Jesus Christ. So God has distributed everyone's talents to everyone equally. We have talents and abilities. We also have gifts, but let us all use that for the good of God in fairness in the body of Christ and for the good of God in everything that we do. And it will reflect the true Christian leadership that God has ordained through the Jesus leadership style that we are supposed to reflect, so that others will come to the kingdom of God, others will stay in the kingdom of God, others will grow as disciples just as you are in the kingdom of God, and continue the great commission that God has set out for the body of Christ. Now, I want to talk about a few things that we can do in order for us to reflect on, are we fair or are we unbiased? I want to bring out these questions, and I want you, if you are a Christian leader or if you're aspiring to be one, take these, write these down, and so that you can begin to look at yourself. You want to assess yourself genuinely so you'll know that if you are treating others fairly. And one of the questions I want to bring out, do you treat everyone the same based on their individual needs and growth level? Are you treating everyone fair in that area? This is a question that you want to ask yourself. I've asked myself. So that we can transcend fairness into the body of Christ, again, for us to be doing the good of God, not the good of men, but the good of God, and not so that others will look at us, but they will look at Christ that is in us. So the next question I want to pose, do you take time to understand everyone that you come into contact with? Do you take time to understand them, or do you just give them an irrelevant answer that doesn't pertain to their own intimate situation? Do you really take time to understand? If it was your cousin coming, will you treat it differently? Is your mother coming or your father coming, will you treat it differently? No. We are children of the living God, so we have to look at everybody situation uniquely and intimately as though that is our own situation, so that we will be fair in it to reflect the body of Christ. So that is a question to every Christian leader out there. Do you perceive that everyone is the same? And my next question is if someone is disabled, do you feel that they will not be able to perform a task as compared to another individual without asking them? So we have to look at, too, the fact that someone is disabled. Do we look at them and perceive them differently and say automatically exclude them from taking any action in the body of Christ because of our own perception, what we see, instead of discerning the heart of Christ in that individual? Do you feel that if someone is older or younger than you, that the will not be able to provide relevant insight to your vision? Do you look at an older person and say, oh, they wouldn't be able to be responsive to the need? Or do you look at the age and say, well, because they're 16, they can't provide me with any insight in my vision? Or do you use the heart of God? Are you prayerful? Are you discerning to see what God is saying about that individual? Do you allow others to speak and share their thoughts? Or do you look at them and you shut them down and say, only these people will I talk to? Do you allow other thoughts and share their thoughts? The next question I want to ask, do your spouse consider you to be fair? If not, why? And take understanding on it. Does anyone else ever state that you are not fair? And if so, don't question them, but, you know, take understanding on these things to see why, because this is a part of your credibility as a Christian leader. If they see this, you always remain questionable. And the unity is not there. We are to bring people into the fullness of the unity of Jesus Christ so that the Spirit can function in that environment, that the Holy Spirit can function in that environment. Do you make sound and unbiased decisions that are for good, the good of God, based on the Holy Bible? Or are some of your decisions made out of flesh or out of emotion from your soulish realm? Do you treat siblings fairly? Or do you favor the older? Or do you spend more time with the older child because you want to pour more off in them because you want them to be the direction of the house? But take in remembrance Esau and Jacob. Take in remembrance the children of Jacob. Take in remembrance of all of the examples that are in the Bible. Do you treat your siblings fairly? Do you love your mom and dad the same? Or do you say, I love mom the most? Or, oh, I love dad the most? Do you love your spouse more than others? If not, why? Why is that? That person is to be one flesh with you. Do you spend time with your immediate circle of friends equally? Do you share information equally across the board when you are communicating your vision? Or is some of it hidden behind closed doors? If so, why? Take understanding on that, because it begins to question your credibility, especially if one of those individuals believe that you already have shared it with another and they're discussing it with them. Okay, so these are some of the questions I want to throw to the body of Christ, to the Christian leaders that may be listening in on this show or that may come later on into the archives and listen. I want to throw those questions to you because, again, this is the Master's Touch, Kingdom Keys to Fairness, and you've been listening to the host, Donna Ganey, Reverend Donna Ganey, and I'm also joined here with Dr. Sunny Agbomo and Minister Rebecca Huggins. Now, I also want to ask that you join Rebecca Huggins. She's going to be having a virtual book launch party coming up here Thursday, July the 30th, 2015, and it's going to be from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, what are you going to learn at this book launch party? It's not just coming to learn about a book, but you're going to get key insights on 8 principles to creating a high performance organization. So she's going to share that with you freely. So listen in, and you can call to 712-432-3022, and the access code is 701-235. Now, I also want to share with you that on Saturday, join Dr. Sunny Agbomo on Kingdom Keys Spirit, Soul, and Body series as he comes back to share some great insights with the body of Christ as well. We do thank everyone for being with us, but I also want to give Dr. Sunny Agbomo and Minister Rebecca Huggins the opportunity to share their final words with the body of Christ. Dr. Sunny Agbomo.
Yeah, thank you so much. On fairness, I would like everyone to know that we are all under the same law. So every one of us are under the same perfect law of liberty. We have the same salvation. Salvation is all for all men, for everyone, for you and for me. The same grace has been given to you and for me. He died for me and you, for all humanity. Salvation is offered to all men under the same condition. And there is no impartiality. Our God is fair. So we all have a common church. So when we have a common church, we have the same spirit, we have the same God, and we have the same fellowship. And all men will be judged by the same standard and by the same God. It is very important for all these things. And we also know that God has given us a command, want us to go there, want us to be teachers, want us to be lovers, want us to do what he started, want us to accomplish it. And he has given us the authority, has given us the power, he has given us the spirit. So it's scary when we are not doing it. And I want everybody to realize that it's very imperative for us to take on that goal, on that mission, and fulfill it.
Amen, amen. And Minister Rebecca Huggins, please share
Yes, Dr. Donna. I just want to say that it's really what I would like to leave with everyone is to remember that as leadership, that as leaders of the kingdom of God, that it's our responsibility to bring, to first of all, display the love of Christ, and second of all, to teach the people of God, and third of all, create a sense of unity for the kingdom of God, so that everybody can operate in his or her gift, so that we can continue to advance the kingdom's agenda, which is to bring non-believers into the body of Christ, to exhort those who are already in the body of Christ so that they can live the Zoe or God kind of life, and just to remember that it's all about God, that it's not about us.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. I totally agree with both of you. We have to begin to grow in our Christian leadership and be able to really influence the body of Christ by the Holy Ghost, not by our force, not by our might, not by our power, but by the Holy Ghost. We want to let everyone know that we are functioning in fairness so that the whole world will begin to adapt to the way of Christian leadership, which is a function under Jesus' leadership style by the Word of God. So, Body of Christ, we are here to empower and equip you, and we'll be back here again soon. And so, please join us. Follow us at Kingdom Empowerment Inc. on blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Follow us for upcoming shows as we come back to share with you on the Master's Touch Kingdom Keys to Fairness. In a couple of weeks, on two Mondays from now, we will be back. And God bless everyone. Minister Rebecca Huggins, would you like to pray for the body of Christ as we close out?
Yes, ma'am. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we come to you on today, and we just want to say thank you, God. We thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, for Minister Donna, Dr. Donna. We thank you, Lord God, for the other minister who's on the line. We thank you, Lord God, for just the body of Christ. And thank you, Lord God, that you're raising up kingdom ambassadors who are committed to going forth and to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. We decree and we declare, God, supernatural abundance to be upon everybody's household. Thank you, Lord God, for supernatural abundance, God. We thank you, Lord God, for divine opportunities being brought our way. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we want you to know, God, that we love you, we honor you, God, and we praise you, and we exalt your name above the heavens and above the earth. On today, God, we thank you, Lord God, for your light shining in and through us. Thank you, Lord God, that you order our steps according to your word. For everyone who's under the sound of my voice, God, we speak supernatural abundance. We decree and declare favor to come from the north, to come from the south, to come from the east, and to come from the west. Thank you, Lord God, for anyone who's on the line, who's in need of divine healing. We thank you, Lord God, for divine healing right now in the name of Jesus. We give your name all of the glory, we give your name all of the honor, and we give you praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. I want to thank Dr. Sonia Gbomo and Minister Rebecca Huggins for joining us today on, again, the Master's Touch, Kingdom Keys to Fairness. Now, the next topic we'll be coming back with will be shared with you on in 2 weeks. We will be coming back again on having good relationships in the body of Christ. Having good relationships not only in the body of Christ, but also with others in the secular world, because, again, we want to reflect Christ. We want to extend ourselves outside of the church so that others can know Christ. So we'll be back again talking about good relationships. And again, that will be in 2 weeks, which will be on August the 10th. August the 10th. So join us then. God bless everyone, and may the grace of God be with you. May He empower and equip you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.